growing up at Thanksgiving, it was not really weird or rare to have an extra chair at the table. There were times that my brother-in-law would invite somebody he met on the train going into the city, or it was we had missionary families that would join us. People that didn't have other family around them would come, and they would sit and they would have a meal with us. And then even one year we had a homeless person that joined us. The truth is, it wasn't unusual for us to always have an additional person at the table for Thanksgiving. And the goal and the hope was just to be a blessing. My mom's favorite line was, "We have plenty of food." And that was true. We're entering into this new series, and this series is particularly located right before the holiday season because I want us to be thinking about what does it mean to bless someone this season. And truth be told, it's all about having this kingdom hospitality and to think about how and where God is calling us to go. Bless is not a program. In fact, it's an acronym, and we're going to break down that acronym here in a few minutes, but it's more than that. It's got to be more than a program, and it's a way of life. It's a philosophy. You know, it's funny, we have these programs in the church, like Bring a Friend to Church Sunday or Back to Church Sunday, and I want to tell you, every Sunday is Bring a Friend to Church Sunday. Every church Sunday should be a place when we are inviting others to join and be at God's table on a Sunday. It's interesting, Jesus in his ministry with the disciples, before he even recruited them to be on his team, he told them, "I'm going to make you fishers of men." And then at the end of the story, as he is getting ready to ascend and then the disciples are going to become apostles and they're going to go out into the areas, he says, "Now go and make disciples of all the nations." And he's telling them, "Listen, I told you I'm going to make you fishers of men. Now I want you to go and fish for men." And so obviously men there it's plural, right? It's people. And what's interesting is what we think about when he says to go fishing. Right? This is typically the image that we have. One person, one pole, one lake, secluded. And this is a great representation of our relationship with Christ. It's just me with a pole and in my sphere of influence. And then usually it's secluded. My relationship with God is on my own. But instead, I want us to think about what does it look like to have multiple people forming a human net that gets flung out into the waters of our around us, and we end up fishing all week long. We end up fishing in where we live, where we work, where we buy, and where we play. I mean, what does that look like? So it's not this secluded image where it's just one pole, one person, one lake, and by ourselves, but it's we're doing this together in community to blessed to be a blessing. So let's break down. What does BLESS stand for? Well, the first B is to begin with prayer. Now, the one thing that you might be thinking, this is almost going to feel like it's overwhelming because you're telling me to add something to my day or to my week. And the truth is, I'm not asking you to add anything because you're going to be doing all these things. And as you, wherever you live, wherever you work, wherever you buy, wherever you play. But in order for us to bless someone then, or to be a blessing, we need to begin with prayer. And so we need to pray things like, "God, change my heart. Lord, give me the eyes to be able to see where it is you want me to go or how it is you want me to serve in these areas." So we have to first begin with prayer. The second one is listen. And listening is vitally important. It means really listening to the stories that people are sharing with us, really listening to their comments, and not just trying to solve their problems. Because many times people don't need you to solve their problems. They simply just need you to listen. And we want to pray, "God, give me the ears to listen." Now, this next one is my favorite. It's eat. We get to eat for Jesus. Like that, I will eat for Jesus all day long. right? And eating is something that you're going to do anyway. So what does it look like to be intentional with where you eat and who you eat with? Like, what does it look like to maybe eat with somebody who's struggling, or to get a meal with somebody who maybe they're lonely, and you get to have that interaction with them and to bless them with a meal, not just dropping it off, but maybe inviting someone in. The first S here stands for serve. And it's not just the aspect of serving as a group or serving with people, but it's serving the people around you. How is it that maybe God is leading you to serve your neighbors? What does it look like to serve those who God places before you to be a blessing to them? And we're going to dive into each one of these as we go through this series. And then last but not least, we have share. And more particularly, it's share your story. Your story is powerful. Your story means something to someone else. And it's something that God uses to bring about restoration of other people around you. Your story. So after, now look at this, it's not before, but after you do all these things, then you have the opportunity to share the good news. And the good news should sound good. It should sound good. In fact, going back to this idea of this being overwhelming and trying to add something to your plate, I want you to hear this. Bless doesn't take more time. It simply takes more intentionality. More intentionality. And really, it's simple. It's living out being a blessing where you live, work, buy, and play. And so no more theological tenets and debates. No more memorizing massive amounts of scripture in order to try to lead someone to Christ. And no degrees or training are required. It's simply putting these principles into action so that you can be a blessing, and especially blessing to the people that God is bringing to you. Now, I'm going to share with you the first two today. And again, some of you might want to check out. And you might want to say, you know what, I don't know if this is going to apply to me because I'm not even a believer and I'm just kind of checking this thing out. Well, I want to share with you, don't check out, because this isn't just something that Christians should be doing. This is something that we should be doing in humanity. As a human being, we should be participating in this. And also too, I want to share with you that I have seen this work in so many other contexts. We can be a blessing with coworkers, and there's so many ways that you can live out this blessed principle. So we're going to stop here and we're going to move to the started out section of our talk sheet. Well, in this series, Bless, we're going to begin right here with the first letter in our acronym B, which stands for begin with prayer. Corey Ten Boom, who was a survivor of the Holocaust, has once said, "We never know how God will answer our prayers, but we can expect that He will get us involved in His plan for the answer." And I love that. And I want you to hear something today. Crazy things happen when we pray. In fact, prayer is a catalyst for crazy stuff to go down. Multiple times we here at Trinity, we have prayed for God to move and to even bring people through the doors. And it's amazing how often He answers that prayer and He brings people. Now, it's got to be more than just a strategy, right? It's got to be a part of who we are. And in fact, scripture indicates for us the urgency to pray for others. In fact, look here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 1, it says, "I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them." Let's stop there for a second. It says, first of all, pray for all people. All people matter to God, and all people need to be prayed for. Verse 2, pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peacefully and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Aren't you thankful for that? I love that last line in the verse that it talks about that this is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved. He wants everybody to save and to understand the truth. But if we break this passage down, we see that there are things that we're urged to do. This is Paul writing to the pastor Timothy, and he's telling Timothy, this is what you need to be about. He says, pray for all people. Not just some people, not just people that we like, not even just people that we don't like. It's pray for all people. And again, we serve an all or nothing God. And he wants us to be all or nothing when it comes to prayer, praying for all people. And the second thing is ask God to help them. That's a key for us. When we say, if we're praying for all the people and asking God to help them, then just as Corrie Ten Boom said, God is going to use us to be a part of that solution. Now, we might not always be the part of the solution, but we have to be willing to be a part of that solution and to take part in blessing others. Then it says, intercede on their behalf. So to intercede literally means to stand between, to intercede, to be in the gap. And we should be a people in the gap. Again, if you're listening to this and you're going, well, as a Christian, we're called to be in the gap for those who are lost and those who God is finding, because God is always seeking and desiring to save the lost, as we even hear in the scripture. When we think about that, as far as being an unbeliever, we have to think about interceding on behalf of people in humanity and helping where we can. And this is both interceding in both word and deed. It's not just interceding on their behalf as the word, but also interceding on their behalf and actually doing something to care for them. And then last but not least, the scripture indicates that we need to give thanks for them, to give thanks for them. Now, these reference points here in that Paul is indicating to Timothy, if they sound familiar, and hopefully they do, they should, because this is exactly the way Jesus led his ministry. And it was the disciples who would have passed that along to the other apostles to say, look, this is how Jesus did it, and this is how you should do it. Jesus prayed all the time. In fact, he prayed for all people. He didn't just have particular people he prayed for more or less. He prayed for all people all the time. And he asked God to help them. He was constantly praying, God, help them, be with them, heal them. He interceded on their behalf. The greatest intercession that God did for his people was through Jesus on the cross. Jesus interceded on our behalf. He paid the debt that we should have paid. And he died the death that we should have died. And then he gave thanks for them. How often, again, do we see Jesus giving thanks for the people around him? And then we find Paul. Paul even says, I prayed and I give thanks for you every time I hear of you and I pray for you. So this idea of praying for others, it's not just the I'm going to sit myself in a room and I'm going to pray and not do anything about it. It's praying for movement. It's praying for people. It's praying for places. It's praying for who it is, where it is, and how it is I'm supposed to go and be a blessing for others. And we have to ask this question, why did Jesus live that way? Why did he pray for all people, ask God to help them? He interceded on their behalf and he gave thanks for them. And we see right here in verse 4, the answer to that. It's because God, our Savior, wants everyone to be saved and understand the truth. That's the reason why. His desire is that none would perish and that all would be saved. So let's learn from Jesus what it means to live a life of prayer. Jesus prayed at the beginning of his ministry. At the very beginning of his ministry, before he did anything else, he went off and he prayed. Jesus prayed before he chose the 12. We see throughout scripture that Jesus often retreated to pray for even his own soul, to build up, for his own strength. And he also, Jesus started his day with prayer. We can find all examples of these in his word. There's a question that I've always had. Maybe you have it too. Have you ever thought about, well, why did Jesus pray? Like, why did he have to pray? I mean, we understand that Jesus was fully God, but we also have to understand that Jesus was fully man. And there's an intention to why Jesus prayed. The first one is he was dependent upon God. Through his prayer, he was showing that he was dependent upon God to lead and to guide. He didn't just go out and just pick 12 random guys to be a part of his disciples' tribe. He went and he prayed, and God said, here are the 12. And then Jesus went and he scoured large areas to identify the men that were going to follow with him. So he was dependent upon God. So he showed us that we too need to be dependent upon God in our relationship, and especially in prayer. The second thing is his life would be an example to us. Again, even though Jesus was fully God, he was also fully man. And he showed us how to live out being a part of this blessing and to bless others. Jesus blessed others, and he calls us to do the same. Now, the one thing I love about Jesus is that he'll never ask you to do something he hasn't already done first. Never. Jesus doesn't just say, oh, okay, God, go and do that now. I don't have any understanding of what that means. Jesus will never ask us to do something that he hasn't already done first, or what he hasn't already modeled first. He's already done it. So this is an important reminder that when we pray, we open ourselves to God. Another aspect of that is when we pray, we focus our minds on his promptings. He tells us, he leads us, he shows us. We also receive direction to the people and the places. All of this happens because we pray. Now, you might ask, Pastor, just give me that one sentence prayer that I can pray every day in order to start this journey of bless. Well, here it is. The primary prayer that we need to pray is, God, lead me to the people you want me to bless today. And pray this every day. God, lead me to the people you want me to bless today. What would happen if you prayed this prayer every day? Maybe when you're getting in the car to go to work, maybe when you're standing at the kitchen table or getting ready to do a load of laundry or dishes, or what if it was you were sitting at your desk getting ready to start your first class and you said, God, lead me to the people you want me to bless today. What would our world look like if everybody prayed that prayer and then followed up on what God said to do? Man, that'd be amazing. So we talked about begin with prayer. Now we're going to jump to number two in the acrostic, which is listen. Listening is so important. Now there's something that I do that I actually hate that I do this. In fact, I call it the ready response. And maybe you can relate to this too. There's times where my wife and I will have spirited conversations. And in those spirited conversations, I really am not listening to what she's saying. In fact, all I'm doing is I'm preparing my response. And so instead of listening to what she's saying, I'm preparing my response. So then as soon as she's done talking, no matter what she just said, I'm going to fire off this ready response. Now, maybe that sounds familiar to you because you don't do that with your spouse, but maybe you do it with other people in your life. Maybe there's a particular coworker that you have the ready response, or maybe it's in a conversation with a person, a friend. You're sitting across the table having coffee together and you just have this ready response. And as soon as they're done talking, boom, you just jump right in instead of really listening, hearing what they're saying, allowing there to be maybe a pause in the conversation to take in what you just heard. And not respond until you feel that maybe God has given you the words, or you're prepared to speak, or there's this that point of listening that happens. the issue that I talked about between me and my wife, and really it's my issue, is the fact that I've got that ready response. It's really a microcosm of a larger social issue, one that we face right now. Everyone wants to be heard, but nobody wants to listen. You know, it's hear me, hear me, hear me, but yet we don't want to listen to others. What if we change that? Like, what if we became a people that said, you know, I don't want to just want to be heard. I want to maybe recognize that I'll be better heard when I'm a better listener. What would it look like for us to kind of flip that paradigm on its head and to say, you know what, I'm not going to just be ready with a response. Instead, I'm really going to listen and listen to the people that are around me. Now, here's the truth of the issue. And I love this. Pastor Dave Ferguson is quoted as saying, when the people in our lives feel unheard and unknown, it ultimately leaves them feeling unloved. Let me say that again. I really love this. I think that this is a great aspect for us to take consideration. When the people in our lives feel unheard and unknown, it ultimately leaves them feeling unloved. I want to share with you that listening is one of the best and easiest ways to bless another person. You might bless a person simply by listening. Think about that. Not only did Jesus pray, but Jesus listened. And in fact, we find a story in John chapter 5. And if you have your word, I want you to turn to John chapter 5 with me. And this story is really important because it shows the intentionality of Jesus's listening. In fact, I'll kind of give you a little bit of brief summary that'll lead up to the scripture we're going to look at. But in John chapter 5, we see that Jesus interacts with a paralytic man who was at the pool of Bethsaida, or the pool of Bethesda, sorry. And while he's there, he is ministering to one person. And there were many sick and crippled people that were around this pool. And they believe that as the waters were stirred, probably from a natural spring, that the first person who entered into the water would be healed. And he's going to have an interaction with a person who believes that. So John chapter 5, verses 5 and 6 say, one of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. That's a pretty specific number. Right? There's a reason for that. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, would you like to get well? That's what he says. Would you like to get well? Here's the thing that's really interesting when we look at this and we realize that Jesus was asking a man a pretty obvious question. How many times again throughout scripture do we see Jesus asking obvious questions? He goes to the blind man, what do you want me to do for you? You know, to the deaf person, right? It's kind of like, you know, hey, I want to be able to hear again. And it's an obvious question. He says, would you like to get well? But the reason why Jesus asked the question is because asking question sets up the opportunity to listen. I mean, who knew? But Jesus shows us that by asking questions, it sets you up for the opportunity to listen. And so Jesus asked questions to get to know people. He asked questions on how to help people, specifically asking them, what can I do for you? And he also, in this story, the Greek implies that Jesus asked people how old this guy was and maybe even how long he'd been sitting by the pool. There's an implication in the Greek in this passage here when we get to 38 years and he saw him and he knew that knowing isn't just he knew in his spirit, but he knew because he had conversations with other people. Now, that's really important. Now, asking questions is a great tool to open up listening. We gotta be able to ask questions. And they can really be simple questions to be able to engage people in order to hear and listen better. Now, verse 7, the response of this man, he says, I can't, sir, the sick man said, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me. Now, I want you to notice something here in this passage. This, for 38 years, being paralyzed, that aspect alone has destroyed this man's hope. He has pretty much lost all hope. I mean, think about this. Jesus said, would you like to get well? And the man's response is, I can't. Man, how many people do you know that you say, man, do you want to feel better? Do you want to get better? And the first response from people is, I can't. You know, in this particular case, the guy was thinking the limitation is I'm paralyzed and I can't even roll into the water to try to be healed. And I'm always second, third, or fourth. I'm not the first one in. And only the first one in would have the potential of being healed by the waters. But he's not realizing who he's talking to. And Jesus listens, and we know he listens because of his response. Look at verse 8. Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Now, what's interesting here is Jesus heard what the man really wanted. He asked him, do you want to get well? And the man said, no, I can't, because he thought, I can't get into the water. So if we were not really listening, we would say, oh, well, I can help you with that. We scoop them up and we drop them in the water. That's not what the man needed. And Jesus, because he's listening, recognizes this man is paralyzed and he thinks that the water's going to save him. But the truth is, it's me. And so he commands him, get up and walk. Now, I always love the stories in scripture when Jesus heals a paralytic or somebody who hasn't walked or was having issues. Because, I mean, could you imagine in that moment, this guy hasn't walked in 38 years? And all of a sudden he gets up, his ankles are secured, his muscles are strong enough, and he begins to, you know, have that baby walking moment. I don't know what that would have looked like, but there were other people around that probably saw that happen and were blown away. And all because Jesus asked questions and Jesus listened. And when you take the time to listen, so check this out. When you take the time to listen, people feel known. And when people feel known, they truly feel loved and blessed. Do you see that? See, this is flipping the script. This is flipping the paradigm. When you take the time to listen, people feel known. And when they feel known, they truly feel loved and blessed. This is like the restoration of people's identities, and simply because we asked questions and we listened. Well, this is another great place for us to kind of pause right here, and we're going to move to the talk it out section of our talk sheet. So Australian pastor Michael Frost tells this incredible story where he went and took a group of skilled laborers to India. And the goal of this was for them to go into a slum area, and they were ready. They were prepared, and they met with the leaders of this area, and they said, hey, we are skilled. We are ready. We are excited. We can do this, and we can build a clinic. We can build a school, and we can build a church. I mean, there's so many things that we can do. Like, what is it that we can do for you? And he was all excited. He's like, you know, just tell me, what is it? You know, pick one of those three. I mean, we're ready. We're prepared. We can do it. And the leaders of the slums actually gathered together, and they met with Pastor Frost, and they said, you know, we really just want a mailbox. And he's like, a mailbox? He's like, didn't you hear me? Like, we can build a clinic. We can build a school and a church. So why in the world would you want a mailbox? Well, the leaders explained that without a mailbox in India, you actually don't have a zip code. And without a zip code, then you don't have an identity. And without an identity, then you don't have government support. And so for them, the greatest concern, the thing that they needed, was a mailbox. And Pastor Frost and his group, they were really excited to build something because they thought that's what they needed. But after listening. And after much prayer, they realized that really what the people needed was a mailbox. Now, here's the crazy thing. It took 2 years for them to be able to build the mailbox. Now, obviously, it's pretty simple to put up a mailbox, but what's not simple is to attach that mailbox to a zip code and that zip code to an identity of a people. And after 2 years, they helped them navigate the bureaucracy. They helped them navigate all of the what it would take in order for these people to be recognized. They advocated for them. And through that advocating, these people were seen by the government. They were identified and had a zip code, and government funding was able to pour in. So I want us to challenge us again to pray the prayer of how and where is it, God, that you're calling us to bless today. And as we think about and lean into Thanksgiving and Christmas and the holiday season, what does it look like to be a people with kingdom-minded hospitality? Well, let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for this lesson. We thank you for the opportunity to be a blessing in order, or to be blessed in order to be a blessing. So, Lord, help us to pray. Help us to listen. Help us to eat with others, to serve and to share. And Lord, as we've heard today, engage our hearts, Lord, to engage the hearts of others. Help us be able to see the way that people, that you see them, and to hear and to listen and to take the time to do that. And so, Jesus, I just pray that you would be with us throughout this week as we take on the challenge of blessing others around us. We pray this now in your name. Amen. Well, as we end our time together, we want to be together in our benediction. And so I encourage you to say this with me as wherever you are to join me in this. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. We are sent.